Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and just go before your throne room, because purely it's by your grace that we are able to go into your presence. And we just ask that, you know, throughout this morning, your presence be with us and we continue to dwell in your grace. Thank you, God, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Last week, also I think probably on Friday, or I shared about the songs about Amazing Grace, and I went through a few stanza, the first few stanza, and then I realized, oh, time is running out. So I mentioned that, you know, if I have a chance to share again, I probably will continue with the song. So this morning, I'd like to continue on our meditations on the song Amazing Grace. And just a really quick recap. The song Amazing Grace, the hymns, some people call that it's like an evangelical or evangelism's hymn. It's actually telling people or sharing with the people this gospel story, a story like how a Christians first come to know Christ and as he's continued to journal on as a Christian, his Christian walk, and it continued and talk about the blessed hope, the final hope, even when life, our physical body decay and pass away, and how life continue and how God is with us. And so today I want to focus on the last two verses, and but as we continue, we see the songs, you know, that they go through the various life challenges that we face, and yet how God came through for us high and low. And verse four, the stanza, that fourth stanza, it talk about the God had promised good to me, and His word my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endure. And it talk about the providence and how God protect, and how God provide. And it talk about this relationship, that intimate relationship, that very personal relationship that we have with God. And this relationship is life for life, as long as life endures. And you know, in the past month, I have heard many news about people passing away, die. And I remember at the end of April, actually within 1 week, I have the news of 3 deaths and 1 funeral. It kind of like reminded me of this movie about 4 wedding and funeral, but it's all happening in 1 week. And I remember that week I was really overwhelmed with my personal stuff, my work stuff, and also with all this news about people dying, people that I know, people I heard of or have been praying for, and they pass away. And I remember that one day it's just simply too much for me, and I actually broke down in tears in the office. And then I was talking to Pastor Sam, and he sort of consoled me and reminded me that, you know, as a Christians and those who pass away, who accepted Christ into their life, the journey of life continue. They are going to a better place. They'd be with God. It's the blessed futures that they are heading. I guess, you know, at the time, the emotion is still very raw. And the things that, this concept, yes, I know, but almost like it's a theory. It's, at that point, it didn't really comfort me, but I acknowledge it. This is what we believe in. But this belief really have not quite sunk in when I, on reflection, actually, it has not sunk in at all in many part of my living out this faith in Christ. And I remember one of the ladies who passed away is Gloria Victoria. It is actually her funeral this Saturday, and we are initially we're planning to send some flowers. You know, it's kind of like in church, and you heard people die, and it's almost like it's a thing to do to send flowers to funeral. And then I remember Bonnie asking, oh, how, what kind of flowers we should send off, you know, how much, and all this stuff. And my comment to her is that, you know, it really doesn't matter, because the funeral is for the living. It's not for the deaf. And my relationship with the person is not really for the people attending, because I have no relationship with those people. I didn't say that aloud, but in my heart it's like, it doesn't really matter, because the dead is dead. He's not going to be there to appreciate the flowers, to receive your love, to receive the respect. And really, in a way that we're doing that is our way of showing our love to the living by showing how much we love the dead, by sending the flowers and by showing, like, by spending the money, showing, it's almost identify our respect with the equivalent of money or the things that we spend and to make it great. But when I pondered that on a bit, I realized, you know, something is really strange, very, it's kind of missing here, because if the funeral is really for the living, then really what are we doing for you know, going to the funeral? Because especially for people that we don't know, like as in, we only have relationship with the deceased, the person who passed away, but we probably don't know their family, we don't know their friends and all this. And what is the point of going to a funeral? I have attended, you know, so many funerals in the past, you know, during my life. And, you know, sometimes I'm even sung in a choir because a friend of mine's parents passed away, and you sing songs in a Christian funeral. So we're asked to sing and hymns, and it's nice. And it's a thing to do, to help a friend. But then, even when we sing so quiet, the mentality and the attitude, I realized, like, now on reflections, really is just our relationship with whoever who asks us to do certain things. And it's really, I find that this is disconnections with funeral itself, disconnection with why we do what we do. It's kind of, what is the purpose? And I realize, as I ponder, you know, this last couple of days, I realize it's because I actually consider the dead is dead. That means that that person, just as I shared just now, that they have no feeling, they die, and they are not in the funeral. And in fact, you know, some of the funeral this day, you only see the pictures in the front. You don't no longer see the casket body or the remains of the body anymore, because to us, a lot of time, it is just like a memorial service, a group of people coming together and sharing, you know, this person, how they impacted in our life, how we miss them. And all this is good, because I believe this is also an important element of a funeral. But then I felt that, you know, funeral is more than just a people coming together in remembrance of someone who passed away. And I really thank God, like, you know, as I take this song to meditate on, and as I was preparing, even last week, I felt that the focus is not so much on the first four stanza. A lot of time, if you look at, like, modern adaptation of this song, they always think about the first three or four verses and forget about the last two. And that's sort of, as I look at it, it's in verse 5, it talks about, you know, when this flesh and heart shall fail, a mortal life shall cease. I shall process within the veil a life of joy and peace. It spoke about, actually, you know, the dead is not dead. Because as soon as we enter into the kingdom of God, as soon as we accept Christ as our personal Savior, as soon as God found us and we become a Christian and we connected with God, the kingdom start. The kingdom of God start. The eternal life start. It doesn't start when we die and we move on and that having that eternal life, but it starts the very moment that we have Christ in us. Meaning that even though physically we may not, you know, have, like, you know, we have no breath, our heart stopped beating, all these physical symptoms of a life sign is no longer happening in our body, but in Christ, we are still alive. In fact, you know, when we think about, you know, at the last day when Jesus on the cross and telling the thief, you will be with me in the paradise. So this life actually continue. This life of joy and peace continue, started very moment of we have Christ in our life, when we're still alive on earth, but it continue. It doesn't cease. It's just that part of the body is just stopped functioning. And it's kind of changed it as I reflected on it. It's kind of changed my perspective about going to the funeral. And I did some research on it. And I realized that, you know, in the older day, they look at funeral in a very different way. Or they have this extra element on top of just grieving or grief management, or what sometimes we call it this day, is like console the mourning. But they have this element about worship. Funeral actually is worship, and it's not worship. A lot every Sunday we recite the Apostle Creed, and we talk about this communion of saints. It's not about just communing among the living, but also it's the communion of the life and the one that who passed away, the dead. And it talk about the funeral actually is a worship sessions, a worship time to God, together with the living and the dead. So you will see in the old days when a Christian funeral, that actually the bodies actually is within among the congregations. It's usually in the old days in the church setting, it could be not in the church setting because we can worship anywhere, but oftentimes the body of the person passed away is with us, and the body actually is not facing the people. The audience is not the living, but rather they are facing the cross. They are worshiping together with the dead. They are celebrating and they're sharing about the love and grace of God that they can celebrate of this life eternal. So then you look at it, then funeral is more than just a memorial service. It's the worshiping together with the death is the worshiper, the audience is the worshiper. So when we go, you know, when we go into worship, when we go to a funeral, it's no longer just paying our respect. It's no longer just saying just comfort to the family, but it is together. It's almost like a celebration that this person who passed away is going to continue his journey, continue the next journey in life. And in some of the older, you know, Christian scriptures, talk about accompany them with singing. We're singing together with them and travel along with time with them and sending them off to the new stage, the stage that where they have with this time with God. And if you look at, very interestingly, verse 5, it says, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. There's this little phrase, and when I look at it, what does it mean by within the veil? And we can actually trace back to the very first day when Adam and Eve sinned. And as God is holy, and a sinner in the old day, when a sinner coming into the presence of God, they have this temple and this part called Holy of Holy. So any sinner going into that is going to strike to death. Basically, God cannot withstand any impurity and unholiness. And when Jesus dies on the cross, in the gospel, it talks about the veil being torn, meaning the veil in the Holy of Holy, which is blocking people's access to God, to the God's presence, is now torn apart, because now we have the Christ in us. It is the Christ's righteousness that God sees, and we can now boldly can go to the throne room and connect with God without shame. And that is the beauty, and that is that this life that's continue. And so if we look at this perspective, then really that death does not seem to be so daunting. I stand before you and say, I'm not afraid of dying. But then I'm not up to this stage yet, at the point that I'm actually experiencing. I guess like this fear does happen, but I guess at this particular moment, I still have in my faith knowing that, you know, one day going to, you know, to pass, travel on and passing along, going to this new stage of life is nothing to fear, because God is with me. God is the better place. And there's another thing that I also want to mention is that for funeral I lost track, but a couple days ago, someone asked me a question, you know, why do we need to get baptized? Because we're going to have a baptism soon. And I told her a couple reasons. Like, first, it is a commandment of God. Second, because Jesus did it himself. The third reason is like that it's a certain spiritual breakthrough that you actually experience when you get baptized. But one thing that I forgot to mention to the girl is that by dipping ourselves into the water, coming out from the water, actually symbolizing that we are baptizing in God's death and we are baptizing in the Jesus life. And in Romans 6:3-5, it says here, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have buried with him by the baptism into the death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, and we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." And basically, it's talk about when we first get baptized, we actually die to our old self, die to our old sinful natures, and die, went through the death, and we resurrect. So meaning that this physical death that we experience on earth and we witness on earth is really, it's not a death, because we've been resurrected already. We do not need another resurrection. It means that this death that we witness on earth is just passing on to the new stage. And so this morning I also want to talk about a bit more about how people in the older days also look to live out this faith. Because if funeral is a worship, the worship that reflects our belief about life and death, our reflection on life and death. And so some of the things that people would do in the old day to reflect that element, one thing, that person actually wear the baptismal robe, and to just reenact this living, that they no longer deaf, but they are living, and they continue their journey on. And some of them would sing a song, hymns together, and holding the body to the graveyard or to whatever places together. So it's this sense of communal, a sense of we are accompanying the deaf to this new journey. And so it's a symbol of like they are passing on, and it's not that they pass away. And some people actually, some Christian will open the coffin and look at the coffins to actually say goodbye. And this is something that we do in the Chinese funeral too. We say our final goodbye. It's also this sense that this death is among us. They are not passing away. It's still in existence. And in fact, this week, my mom, I think this week, my mom just showed me, she got bought from these funeral shops. My mom's getting old, and she already planning her funeral. She got her place, and and this week, she actually went into a funeral shops, accessory shops, that a Chinese one, and to buy her clothes. It's a white silk clothes, and with the really embroidery shoes, and she already prepared for it. And it is this desire to of this life is continuing. As a Christian, we know that our journey will continue on. But this desire to continue life is actually exists among people's heart. There is this ministry, I think it's by St. James Settlement in Hong Kong. They actually do service for old folks to plan their funeral, how they would like to be, you know, at that last journey on life. And I remember when I was in seminary, we are talking, you know, among ourselves, you know, some actually said, "I'm going to record my message. I'm going to preach as my own funeral." Like some friends realized that they're going to plan their own funeral and do all these things because it is a worship together. It is. So they want to be participate of their. The last minute as this physical, like as their physical body is still on earth together with the people among them. And I think this is good, you know, that we plan for our funeral, but I felt that it is when we do plan for our funeral, our focus should not just be purely on our interactions with the living, but really is our interactions with God as well. You know, it's kind of like on a Sunday service. I was really mad one time because some house church member in my house church skipped church on that Sunday. The reason being that I heard the speaker is not very good. And I was blasting at the person for, I think, over 15 minutes because I was so angry in a way that, what do you think a Sunday service is? It's a worship. It's coming together. The preacher here, the person who preached, whoever is preaching here, is not just giving a seminar. It's not giving a lecture. What they're doing is living a life of worship. They are worshiping God by standing at the pulpit and sharing a message of God. And this sharing is not just to God, but also to the audience. But at the same time, the response of the congregation as a Christian is when they receive the message, they just know, not just putting in their own heart and, okay, I have something new, I learned something new. It's almost like consumer. I take and I eat and I digest and I have it and get rid of it in my system. But rather, it is when you receive and you respond by responding to God. The message that comes into you, it might be a conviction or might be something that reminds you about the grace of God. And in response, your response in a worship should be going back up to God. And that make it a worship rather than just having like a seminar, just having being ministered to. But it's the interaction with your fellow Christian and brothers and sisters in Christ, but also it's also about your interaction with God. So my reflection about funeral is that, you know, this, when I go into a funeral again, then my attitude is not just comforting the mourn, showing my respect, because I wasn't really showing my respect. I feel obliged to do it because I want to show them love. But rather, by going into funeral, that this extra element about worshiping God together with the death. And, you know, with this understanding and I just, you know, that's really changed me, is that the death is not death, the life eternal that we have with God. And the very first day from the day that God found us, the battle already won. And that's why when we come to, you know, in the verse 6, like the last stanza of the song, it talk about the earth shall dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. So one day, yes, the earth will, the heaven and earth like were really in existing at this moment will be destroyed, and all our possession will be gone. But one thing that God promises and is His presence with us will be forever mine. And if we believe that the promise of God, the promise that God is without, you know, now and forever, it never ceases. Doesn't matter whether our our body is decaying, we no longer have any senses in terms of the, you know, as a physical body concern, but this life is a life internal, and it continues, and it never ceases. And so when we think about in that perspective, then about these songs, about this amazing grace, because honestly, none of us really, looking at the things that we do, none of us really deserve what we have. But yes, by the very grace of God, this amazing grace of God, that we have this life eternal. And so this morning, I would like to ask Yvain to continue to lead us into meditation. But I would like us to meditate really more than our present circumstances, more than the grace of God that given us today on earth, but really go deeper and meditate on this grace of God about life eternal and how it should reflect in our everyday life, how we live out every day that reflects this value about life eternal.
Oh Lord, you said
I don't know about you, but then if there's anyone that you know pass away, you know, during recent time, let's spend some time in living out this communion of saints, communion with the living and the dead. That let's praise God together with them. And also at the same time, let's praise for the people still living on earth that have someone, you know that has passed away. Let's pray for them. Really pray for that comfort of God going to them. Yes, funeral is a worship to God, but it's also a time where people come and mourn together and come and share the love for each other. So this morning, if there's anyone that's you heard or in your life that's passed away, let us remember their family members in prayers. Praying for the comfort of God be with them. Praying that for those that who do not know Christ, who have no hope of his eternal life, will come to know Christ soon. Particularly want to lift up the funeral coming this tomorrow for Gloria Victoria. It's a very short funeral at the cremation center. And pray for the logistic, but pray for it. This funeral be a worship unto God. And let's also pray for her elderly parents. Both father and mothers do not know Christ. Let's spend time and really intercede. Gloria Victoria initially wanted to have SP to conduct the funeral for them, but she changed her mind at the very last moment because she wanted her parents to hear the message in Cantonese. And so let's pray that this wishes of our dear sister will come true, will happen tomorrow at the funeral for their parents. Let's continue with our community, praying for the our community. Those who are family members, they are our extended family who suffer from cancer, who are going through chemo, who are in the process of recovery. Let's pray for them and for lesser discomfort as they go through this process of healing. And pray for speedy recovery. And for those who still suffer from cancer, pray for supernatural healing for them. And most important of all is during all this suffering, they realize Christ is with them. And they're experiencing God even during this time of suffering. Let's pray for that. For those that who are suffer from various illness but they do not know Christ, and particularly I want to lift up Bonnie's grandfather. He just gone into back to a hospital, and they expect him will be going soon within this week, this week or so, but and he do not know Christ yet. Like, really pray for the chaplain that is at the hospital, pray for the family members who know Christ, who Christians, that have the opportunity to share the gospel with the grandfather, and also really pray for that heart being softened. Really pray that for his salvation. Let's pray for that. Also continue to pray for those item number 6, where people suffer from infirmities, and just pray for speedy recovery for them too. Let's continue to pray for those who are seeking employment. We're asking for God's protections, also provisions for, especially on the leave of Joanne. She's having an interview this morning, so let's also pray for her. Pray for favor of God be on her side, and whatever that, you know, the talent she has will be manifest throughout the interview, and just the best interview. Also to the prayer focus for Friday. Friday we pray for all the different local churches and the local ministry that's serving people in Hong Kong, not just Chinese but also different ethnic groups. So let's continue to leave them in prayers. Pray that God's continue to speak life into their ministry, and many lives be touched and changed and transformed by this ministry in Hong Kong. Let's pray for empowerment for our worship team, our sound and medium team, and welcoming team, and also the barista ministry. They are the ministry serving on Sunday. Really pray for the Spirit of God be with every one of the members that's on this ministry, and pray for awesome worship this Sunday. Let's continue to pray, lift up also for this weekend, tonight, and also tomorrow, there's mission training. Pray for Pastor Eugene. He's preparing for the training material and leading the training tonight. Really pray for God's anointing on him. Let's continue to lift up the two house churches. That one is the Medelli house church and Bel Air house church that's gathering on Saturday. They just started a new timetable and having new people coming in. Also pray for what King house church is gathering tonight. Really pray that fellowship does happen in within the house church and love manifests, and in the worship manifests also happening in the house church. Also continue to pray for the SP began activities like the Sunday service and the youth group and the Noah's Ark that's all happening. Just pray for the logistic, the teachers, and also pray for Pastor Sam and the people who serve on Sunday. Dear Jesus, I just want to give thanks once again for what you have done for us on the cross. You not only just giving us a new life, or you know, life forever, life eternal, but this life is full of is in abundance. This life is transformative. It's a every day as I walk with you every day. I just ask Holy Spirit, just come and work in our heart and help us to change our values that is of the world into this value that is suitable for us to continue this journey and suitable for the kingdom of God. And Father, just ask that you continue to reveal yourself to us, reveal to us who you are and who we are. And so that we could be, and we also pray for this motivation, this drive, to willing to be more like you, to reflect on the things that we do, sometimes even questions on why we do certain things in church or in life, and really pray that we continue to have that reflective mind to reflect on what it really means to be a Christian, what it really means to live out this Christian faith. Father, I really ask you to transform our values, on our views on what is a Sunday worship, what is a funeral worship. Really, God, we just ask you to come and change us so that our life can truly be, say, a living sacrifice. Our life can truly be said to be a worship unto you. Thank you for being with us. I ask you to protect and guide my brothers and sisters here for whatever that need to be done for the day. Provide them with this daily bread, daily strength to go about on their business. And thankful heart for them to remember all this is from you, and that they may acknowledge you in everything that is in their life and in everything they are doing. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have a good day, everyone.